Can I ask you a question this morning? Anyone fancy a holiday? It's not a trick question. Anybody fancy a holiday? We've raised that much money, we're going to do holidays now. No. Not yet. Let me encourage you. If you get all your reward here, there'll be none left for you there. So I'm not going to do it because I wouldn't want to spoil it. I wouldn't want to spoil anything from you. But anybody, like, I think I'd like a holiday. It'd be pretty nice. I saw somebody just coming back from Tenerife. I was like, that would do me just nice. Anyone like a holiday? Yes, we would all love a holiday. I think if we're all really honest, at any point in the year, we'd all fancy a holiday. Probably at any point. And maybe you're thinking holiday. You're not even thinking sun. I'm thinking sun. That's what I'm thinking. Warmth, sun, all of that. But maybe you're an adventurer. I know Stuart wants to go to the Yukon, wants to go up to the minus 50, whatever it is up there, and go live in the wilds. That's cool. That's maybe what you're after. But the idea of a holiday always sounds good and always sounds nice, unless maybe you've just been on a holiday and then you say to yourself, I can't wait to get home. We're funny like that in Northern Ireland, but we like to get home. But if you haven't been in a while, then you're looking forward to, or you would like a holiday. Bad news is I can't give you a holiday this morning unless your work can do it, unless you can pay for it. But what I do want to talk about is rest. I want to talk about rest because I think we're all living exhausted. We're all living exhausted. We're all living like worn out or maybe even burnt out. And God this morning wants to encourage you that he's actually better than a holiday. And just think for a moment, maybe your heart leapt at the thought of, I'd love to go on a holiday. Maybe what it's really doing, what it's really responding with is, I need refreshed. I need to find rest. I'm longing for something different than the status quo. I'm longing to be able to relax. I'm longing to be able to let go. I'm longing to be able to lose control. That's one of the best things you go on holidays. You lose control. Not too much, hopefully. Not too much. Got a testimony. But you like to lose control. You know what I mean? You like to lose control because it's just like, oh, I'm fed up worrying about bills, fed up with trying to get up every day. You turn the alarm off. You're like, we're not even setting an alarm. Maybe you do. Maybe in your holiday you do. But you know, for some of us, we're like, I'm not even setting an alarm. There's no alarms being set. I'm just going to lose control and let's see what way the Spirit leads or let's see what way we lead ourselves. But it sounds so good, doesn't it? And this morning, God wants to remind us and he wants to give us a kingdom value this morning that we are people of rest. That we are people of rest. Maybe we're being lied to. Maybe we're being distracted by. And maybe we're being led into the wrong thoughts and the wrong ideas. And as a result, we're yearning and we're thirsty and we're desperate for a rest. And God wants to encourage you this morning that we are people of rest. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Matthew 11, 28. If you've got your Bibles on your phone or in the flesh, then you can look them up. But we're going to put it on the screen. And I encourage you, always, you got to keep reading. You got to keep reading. It refreshes our soul. It renews our spirit. Everything we read of the Word of God is good for us, and it changes us, and it challenges us. Matthew 11, 28. Here's what it says. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is what the Lord says this morning. This is what Jesus says. He understands. Can we understand? This is him speaking. He says, come to me. You are welcome. You are invited. You can come to me. Why? Because I know that you will be wearied and burdened. If there's anybody in here that's not wearied and burdened, that's incredible. But God knows that without him, that we are going to feel weary and we're going to feel burdened. We're going to feel restless. We're going to feel exhausted because everything in life is trying to get us to speed up. I mean, I don't know anybody who uses like Audible, you listen to online books or things like that. Guys are telling me now that nobody listens on speed 1 anymore. Everybody's listening on speed 1.25 or 1.5. So the voice gets squeakier, but you get to listen to the information quicker because people seem to need to get this information. It's a race. It's exhausting, and none of us are winning that race. None of us are because that battle is unachievable. That battle is exhausting. You will burn out. God has got a completely different way. He's got a completely different way. He says, come to me. Come to me. You don't have to go to yourself. You don't have to go to anybody else. You don't have to be limited to your boss or to your workplace or any of those things. He says, no, I am greater than all of that, and I need you to break free from that so that you can come to me. I understand you'll be wearied. I understand you'll be burdened, but I will give you rest. He's going to give you rest. He's going to give you rest. Think about this. You're not going to have to achieve rest. You're not going to have to work for rest. I'm going to give you rest. Most of us, when we think about rest and we think about a holiday, we think, I'll work really hard and then I'll achieve the money I need to achieve and the fruit of my labor will be a good rest. God says, for me, in my kingdom, you'll come to me because of all that I have achieved, the work that I have completed, and I will give you rest. It'll be a free gift. It'll be a wonderful present. It'll be something I will just give to you. And the same way that when a few moments ago when you thought I might give you a free holiday, you were like, yes, come on. Because you weren't going to have to work for it. You were simply going to receive it and go and get a wonderful tan or whatever you wanted to do. The Lord says this morning for us, come to me. There's no limit on this. There's no credits on this. It doesn't run out. It's not if you came today, you can't go tomorrow. It's not like, well, you'll not get any more days off holidays. It's not like when the money runs out, the holiday's over. This is, come to me. This is, it never ends. It just says, come to me, come to me, come to me. Whenever you need, every moment, every battle, every issue, every problem, come to me. I'm going to change something. Let's read on verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Listen to what Jesus says. You will find rest for your soul. You see, the real battle and the real restlessness is in your soul. Physically, that is a problem, and God was going to renew that. He says, I'll renew you every day. I'll cause you to rise up. Back in the Old Testament, says he rises up on wings like eagles, and he'll help us to soar through his strength, through his help. But God wants to get to the very heart of it, and Jesus speaks, and he says, you will find rest for your souls. What does that speak of? Eternal rest. Whenever we come to Jesus and we know Jesus, we will rest forever. We will rest forever in him. But God's heart and God's desire is that heaven would come to earth and we would know spiritual rest here today. So when the enemy comes and he tries to steal from us, rob from us, destroy us, we remind him of his fate and we remind him of our future. And it's a future in a wonderful eternity with God. But in these moments today, we can find rest for our souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy. This is Jesus describing what he's going to give us in return. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, this morning, we've got to make sure that we're carrying the right yoke. Let me just give you a quick explanation of what yoke is, because back in the day, they would have understood it. Today, we may not. So you imagine you're a farmer back in Jesus' times. You've got an oxen, and you want it to do something. So the only way you're going to get it to do something is you've got to put this yoke over it, which is like this wooden kind of thing that has a bit of a band on it. It goes in between its head and its shoulders, goes around its neck. It clamps in behind its shoulders. You put some ropes to it. You put a ply on the other end or whatever your instrument of choice is. And then you say, giddy up, you know, or whatever you got to do to get that oxen to move. And it starts to move slowly but surely. And it works. And it works, and it works, and it works. And the reason that it works is because of the yoke. And that yoke is heavy, it's difficult, it sits there, the ropes are attached, and if it's a horse or the oxen knows when the yoke is on, it is work time. Can I encourage you this morning? What Jesus wants to do instead, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I encourage you this morning? When Jesus went to the cross, he cried out, it is finished, because the work is done. Let me give you a picture of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the priest was our mediator. The priest was the one that was going to set us free. If we lived in the Old Testament, we abided by the rules, the Ten Commandments. We tried every day to keep them. We tried every day not to break them, but inevitably, something would happen. We would tell a lie. We would take the Lord's name in vain. We would murder someone. We would covet our neighbor's possessions. We wouldn't remember to keep the Sabbath holy. We would do something like that. Then we would go to the priest and we say, I need to keep myself right. And the priest would say, okay, we're going to have to kill a lamb. We're going to have to shed some blood. And he would do that. But here's the truth of the Old Testament. You could never stop. It was always go, go, go. You could never find rest, and you definitely couldn't find rest for your soul because you were never sure if you were good enough because you knew you were full of problems. Anybody know that? You knew you were full of problems. So here's what they said of the priests of the Old Testament, and then I'll describe the priest of the New Testament. The priests in the Old Testament said in the tabernacle, in the place of the Holy of Holies, they never had a seat. There was no such thing as a seat. Guess why? Because their work was never done. It was just relentless, morning, noon, and night. You might think your work is busy. Back in the old days with the priests, their work was relentless. There was no seat. They had no time to sit down because the problems were great. The sins were great. Now, let's think for a moment what happened. Then Jesus came. And what did he say? He said, I am the new high priest. Hebrews tells us that. I am the new high priest, but the work that I will do will be a work forever. In other words, I will do the work that the oxen tried to do for generations. I will do the work of your life. I will do the work of your sins. I will take care of your sins. And in exchange, I will give you a yoke that is easy because you have no longer to work for rest. You now can live in rest because of what the Lord has done. And then when he got to heaven, Ephesians, we'll read it later on, Ephesians 2 says that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the first priest in history that sat down because his work was done. No other priest could do it. No other priest could do it because their work was never done. But Jesus, because of his glory, because of his majesty, because of his wonder, he's able to sit. And now he sits in a place of rest, and he calls us to sit in that place as well. So maybe you're here today, and you're thinking to yourself, man, when's the last time I had a good rest? When's the last time I just felt like light? Can I encourage you this morning? If we're carrying a heavy yoke, we need to swap it. Because we should have a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. Maybe you're carrying a burden for your family. Maybe you're carrying a burden for your workplace. Maybe you're carrying a burden for your finances. Make sure that that burden is light. Because if it is not light, then it is the wrong burden and you've picked up the wrong stuff. Because remember, you don't have to work anymore for that. Jesus has already completed the work. We receive it. We receive it. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. You don't have to work for that. You don't have to pay a big high price for that. I have already done it. We receive it. And this morning, we lift off the heavy yoke, and he puts on the easy yoke. Not because we're worth it, but because he says we are worth it because of what he has done. Amen? Good to see you, Joel. That wasn't planned. So pathway to success this morning is to live in a place of rest. Pathway to success is to live in a place of rest. God sees rest as a high value. Right back from Genesis, he said that on the first 6 days, he created the heavens and the earth. And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. Can I tell you why he rested? Not because he was tired. Does anybody ever find themselves only resting when they're tired? That's just weird. That's not what God does because he's never been tired. He rests two reasons. To observe his wonderful masterpieces. To observe the wonderful beauty of creation. Can I encourage you this morning that just like the Father, he wants us to do the same? That we just don't rest when we're exhausted, but we rest because it's a great idea, because it allows us to look around and see all we've done, because it allows us to look around and say, look what the Lord has done through me, or for us to look around and say, look what the Lord has done, and I will rejoice and be glad for it. Can I encourage you and tell you that that would be a great recipe for success in your life? As we would look around, and instead of worrying about everything, we would take a day of rest, and we would look around and see all that he has done. So that's back in the Old Testament. It gets even better in the New, and I'll share it in just a moment. But 6 days of working, 6 days, not five, 6 days of working, and then the sixth day of rest. And then the second reason, the first reason, so he could observe and see all that he'd done. But the second reason is that he would give us permission to rest also. See, this was God's heart, and this was his desire, that he would give us permission to rest also. And then what happens next? Enemy comes, and he says, hey, why don't you be as good as God? Why don't you be as good as God? And we eat of the wrong tree, and as a result, our mind gets open to good and evil. Our mind gets open to things that we shouldn't do. And what we start to realize is, I gotta work. I've got to work to achieve. I've got to work to be worthy of something. I've got to work to get something. I've got to work. Before that, everything was set up for man, and we had dominion over it. And we worked from a place of delight, not a place of disaster. We worked not to save ourselves. We worked because we were saved. We worked because of his good handiwork. And we worked because it was a pleasure. And now we spend ourselves in our workplaces, and we're not working for pleasure, most of us. We're working because we have to, because there's no other choice. God takes it to another level in the Ten Commandments because of our sinning and because of the ways that things have went. And then one of the commandments, I think we've got it this morning, Exodus 28, it says, remember the Sabbath day and by keeping it holy. Jewish law that was put in years and years ago. Can I encourage you? Jesus has superseded that law. He's brought something even better. But it says to remember. And they use the word remember because there was something to remember back to. Rest was always God's idea. Rest was always his plan. And yet, I think if I'm being really honest, rest is not a high value for me. It's more, let's go, let's do, let's hurry, let's panic, let's achieve, let's make. God has already done. God has already won. It's out of a different place that we work. It's out of a different place that we achieve. It's out of a different heart that we go forward. But it is not one to please him. It is not one because we need more acceptance. It is not one because he needs us to. It is because we delight in him and we work from that place. And so Jesus came and he changed everything. He came and he changed everything. And so let's think of the miles just for a moment. 6 days working to achieve 1 day of rest. It says, if we read all of that in Exodus, it said that they were allowed to rest because they worked 6 days, because they had earned it, because they had achieved it, and so therefore they could have a good day of rest. Some people think when we talk about rest, we think about laziness. Not at all. If you make it that, you've missed the point, but it is not. It's back in those days, you worked really hard, and you deserved your rest because you'd worked so hard. So we got 6 and 1. We got 1 day out of 7 for a day of rest. And then Jesus comes. And can I talk for a minute about Jesus being our Sabbath? Because he changes everything. See, before we were under the law, before we had to try to keep the Ten Commandments, and we could never do it. And then Jesus comes. And what he does is he doesn't do away with the Ten Commandments, but he uses them as a foundation. Before, they were the house that we tried to live in, but we could never quite manage to stay there well enough without killing loads of animals because we weren't good enough. And so then Jesus comes. He says, okay, that's going to be my foundation now. And I'm going to supersede it, and I'm going to build something that's even stronger, that's even better, that's even harder to achieve. I'm going to raise the bar and say, not only does murder count whenever you go out and physically do it, but now even when you think it in your heart. No, not only does lust work when actually you physically do it, and adultery, like it says in the Ten Commandments, but now I'm going to do it, it's even if it's in your heart, you've committed adultery. So he raises the bar, he doesn't bring it any less. He raises the bar. But this time he says, I'm going to be there, my Holy Spirit's going to be there, I'm going to sustain you. And you're not going to do it out of religion, because you could have never done it that way, you were never supposed to do it that way, you're going to do it through grace. This wonderful free gift called grace that radically transforms our lives, that is not a license to sin, but it is a way to live like Christ, because he has elevated us and he has seated us in heavenly places with himself. So let's think of the Mass as Jesus came. Before, it was 6 days work, 1 day rest. Everybody just trying their best to get do enough work to deserve that day of rest. Trying your best to work hard enough just to get that day that you deserve, to get that day of rest. Sometimes you didn't feel worthy enough. Sometimes you didn't feel good enough. So then you had to work on the 7th day because you thought to yourself, I didn't deserve it. After all I've done this week, it wasn't good enough. And then Jesus comes and he defeats everything. He becomes the better Adam. He restores everything. He removes the need to work to achieve. And suddenly he gives us an even better deal. He says, now your rest is a continuous rest. It's a continuous rest. Because as we said also, before the priests had to work all of the time, now Jesus is seated. And instead of being 1 out of 7, we get 7 out of 7. Every day we get to live in a place of rest because he has seated us in heavenly places with himself. We are no longer working to try to get something. We are working from what he has already done. I'm not working to try to feel better. I'm not working to make him like me more. I'm not working to try to get something more from him. I'm working with delight. I'm living from a place of rest. I'm not working to get to rest. I'm working from rest because of all that he has done. And it's called wonderful grace. Wonderful grace. Now suddenly I'm able to live higher. Now suddenly I'm able to go a different way. Now suddenly it's like, wow, I felt like before I couldn't sustain this pace. Now I've got the grace. And now I've got grace. And suddenly this pace, it's just elevated. Ever find yourself and you're following after the call of God, or you're following after the things of God, and what should get you wearied is now getting you refreshed? Ever find yourself going after God, and what used to just get you tired is now just like the thing that brings you alive? Because suddenly instead of doing it through, I must, I have to, I need to, I'm doing it through, wow, this is delight, this is rest, this is who I am, this is what God's called me to do. This is wonderful. It's so good, other people are going to look at your life and going to go, how do you do this? You're like, but for the grace. But for his grace, I couldn't do it. Anytime I step away from his grace, it becomes a dread instead of a delight. Anytime. Anytime I step away from it, it becomes a dread instead of a delight. And isn't Jesus wonderful that before we had to work 6 days to deserve 1 day off, and now he says you don't have to go searching for something, you already have it, and so now we can live in permanent rest. Permanent rest every single day. See, this is the state of our soul. This is the state of our heart. This is the state of our mind. And so I know and understand there are times when we need physical rest. But church, we got to understand today that spiritually, there's a rest for our souls that is there each and every day. It's not just achievable 1 day of the week, but it's every day. It's every day. It's every day. It's every day. And he has set us free, not to be free 1 day, but all 7. What's the number seven mean? Complete. Complete. Perfection. Jesus perfected everything back to the way it should have been when we were in the garden and we walked with him every day. No separation. No separation, no distance, no trying to find God, no wondering if he loves me or not. He is right there with me, and we are together forever. And now, in Christ, this is what we have. No separation, no condemnation, no working to achieve. Now working from delight, working because we want to, working because we love him, working because of how he has blessed us. God is serious about rest. Can I suggest this morning that most of our lives are looking more about hurry than rest? Can I suggest this morning that most of our lives are looking more like rushing than resting? Can I suggest this morning that most of our lives are looking far more stressful than restful? Can I encourage you this morning that our lives are looking like we're just trying to get here, there, and everywhere instead of being fully rested in Christ, knowing that he is ordaining every step, knowing that he is sustaining every word, knowing that he is working through me in every way, knowing that he provides all that I need. See, the stress and the rush and the panic comes from the idea of I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to achieve, I've got to make, I've got to do, I've got to do it all. I'm in control. But true rest is not laziness. Can I encourage you with that? It is not laziness. We need to rewrite our thinking on that. True rest is each and every day knowing that I am his. He is in control. I am in the center of his will. He sustains me. He provides everything. He has got everything that I need. I simply receive. I simply receive. I've tried the work and it was never good enough. I tried trying to achieve it myself. I could never quite feel satisfied. I could never feel rest in my soul. I could never get what I needed. But now I simply receive and I stand in the finished work because of what Jesus has done. Let me read a couple of truths over your heart this morning. I feel like God just wanted to bring them out. I feel a lot of the times we associate rest with being worthless, that we have lost time, that we're unproductive, and that we're wasting. I feel a lot of the times, because that's how I feel a lot of the times, that I'm wasting time, that I'm being unproductive, that I'm not achieving enough, that I'm missing the opportunity, that my life is short, that I got to redeem the time, and I'm trying to marry all those things in. And can I encourage you this morning? We're getting borderline demonic. It's so anti-God, it's unbelievable. It's so anti-him, it's unbelievable. Jesus died for all of that. We associate, how do we associate busyness? We associate busyness with wisdom, with high value, with a worthy use of our time, with that we're really achieving some stuff. Let us not just take away from busyness, because being busy for the Lord, if we're being busy in the right things, is a wonderful thing. But let us not be busy for the sake of busy. Not let us be busy because we think it adds to us. Let us not be busy because we think it gives us a higher status. Let us not be busy because we're doing it for value or we're doing it for worth. Jesus says, no, none of those things. I've achieved all of that on the cross, and I'm resting seated, and you're seated beside me because you can rest too, because you're not trying to attain something. You've got something because of Jesus. You've got something because of Jesus. He is here this morning, and he wants to encourage your heart. The enemy doesn't want us to rest because he wants us to think that there's always more and more and more and more and more that we have to achieve and that we could fall away and that things could happen and things could take place. But God is here, and he says, rest is good. It is not laziness. It is me. I wrote down some questions to ask our hearts this morning, and I'm asking them to myself, so this is not condemnation. This is to set us free from what God wants us to do. I believe this morning that God wants us to know rest instead of it being our last resort. Instead of it being our last resort, God wants us to know rest, that we live in rest. Anybody feel like rest is their last resort? Sometimes it can be the case. A few questions to read over our hearts. Do we ever get to bed sometimes? Do we ever go to bed sometimes? Do we ever find ourselves going more to bed because we want a good rest or because we're exhausted and we need to sleep? You know? Do we ever find ourselves going to bed early because we just want to get a good rest? Or do we find ourselves trying to push every last ounce of time because we want to go at the last minute because we want to achieve all we need to achieve that day so that when we get to sleep, it will just be what it needs to be? Because a lot of times we feel like sleep is waste. Because a lot of times we feel like sleep is lost time. It's unproductive time. We're not achieving what we need to achieve. See, this whole thing is so subtle. It is so subtle. And yet when we're in his will and we're sustained by his grace, we'll do exactly what we need to do. I think if we were back in Jesus' day, we might accuse him of not doing enough. Anybody ever feel that? We may turn around and we say, hey, Jesus, I'm not sure you're doing enough because you can do an awful lot of stuff. I feel you need to sleep less to do more. It's the lie of the enemy, just trying to drag us into some stuff, pulling us into things we don't need to do and pulling us into things that we already have. Maybe this, do you ever feel guilty when you sit down or go for a rest or a holiday? Ever feel guilty? I do sometimes. Maybe feel guilty about that. Feel guilty for a rest. Feel guilty about sitting down. Feel guilty for going on holidays. Because you know there's so many other people more deserving. Let me say it a different way. Man, I don't feel like I deserve a holiday because that person deserves it more than me. Man, I don't feel like I go on a holiday because you know what? I should be going on a missions trip because that would be far more productive. I don't feel like I go on a holiday because, you know, I should be giving my money to this or to that. Just feel guilty. Feel like I don't deserve it. Feel like I'm not worthy enough. Feel like, you know what? Don't feel really bad, but there's just a pinch of me. And God says, I want to remove all of those things. I want to remove all of that. Third thing, do you ever take pride in yourself because you're a good worker and then start to look around and go, they're not as good as me? Ever find that? Man, I just wish they were as good a worker as me. You know, just starting to take pride in that. Start to use it as almost like a status symbol. Almost like saying to ourselves, man, that's how good I am. Maybe we even start to judge other people because they're not as good a worker as you. Remember, Jesus, you're working from Jesus. You're working from Jesus. You're working from him. You're not trying to achieve anything. You're working for him. Maybe this. Do we make physical rest a priority? Do you ever make physical rest a priority? Do you ever make that? I encourage us this morning that I think a lot of the times we come in and we say to ourselves, man, how was this week? We say, oh, it was incredible. Never stopped. Never stopped. You know, where does a badge of honor, busyness, kind of badge of honor, just... When was the last time we came and boasted and just said, man, I just had such a great week just resting before the Lord. Such a great week just resting before the Lord. Imagine that. That almost seems like extraterrestrial, doesn't it? Almost feels like, what planet are you on? Like, whole week resting? No. It says that Jesus, all the chance that he could, he rested before the Lord. Every chance that he got, he rested. Every chance that he got before the Father and he rested. He allowed the Father to minister, allowed the Father to talk to him. Is it any wonder that our minds are just in a constant spin? Because we're trying to keep up with something that we can't keep up with, called life, called performance, called everybody else's opinions. Is it any wonder that we're taking more medication than ever for antidepressants to try and calm us down, soothe us down? Any wonder that we've got more problems than ever with ADHD and all the different distractions and all those different things that come to try and rob us of our peace? Is it any wonder? Because our whole world is built on restlessness. Our whole world is built on busyness. Our whole world is built on a million miles an hour times 10. And if you can do that, you're a really good person. When was the last time we raised up the value of rest? Because rest is going to transform our lives. Ephesians, let me read this one. Ephesians 1, he raised him up from the dead and seated him at the right hand. This is Jesus. And he placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for everything for head over everything for the church, which is his body. Let me just do a picture. Chris, I'm going to need your help for this, bro. Bring a chair. I think this is going to be really helpful. Bring a chair. Chris, bring your chair. So we're going to imagine, here's Chrissy. Sit up here, bro. He's going to be Jesus, and he's seated. Now, remember, the reason why he's seated is because his work is done. He's not lazy. This is Jesus. He's never known laziness in his whole life, but he's at perfect rest and perfect peace. Come on, Chris. Be a good Jesus. Come on. So he's resting. He's resting, amen? And this is the Lord right here. And then he says, we're beside him, seated beside him. Now, did you notice what it says? And he will place everything under his feet. See, here's what the enemy comes to do. The enemy comes to do this, to tell you you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough, infecting your mind, just trying to pollute you, just trying to do all sorts of things. Here's what God says. I'm going to do it for you. In the Old Testament, whenever the enemy would be defeated, the king would bring them before himself. He would get them to Christ before him, and he would put his feet on top of them. That's why the Old Testament says it, and the New Testament says it. Because a true king takes his enemy and uses him as a footstool. He puts his feet up on his enemy because he's defeated his enemy. This is what's going to happen. Let's do it.
I'm the enemy. I go like this. And Chrissy puts his feet up.
Puts his feet up. This is us with the enemy. But the enemy wants to come and bombard us and attack us and make us feel that we're the footstool, that we're the ones that's being oppressed. But we're not. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ because that's where he is, and he says we are like him. So what does God say? God says this morning, when the enemy comes to try and heap coals on your head, that is not the case. You rebuke him in Jesus' name. Remind him that you've already won the race because Jesus is with you. Remind him that Jesus already accomplished all that needs to be accomplished. And instead of him telling you what to do, you tell him what to do. And you remind him that I've got to put my feet up on you. So get down. It's time to get down because you are not victorious over me. Church, it's okay to respond to that because the Lord is good. And he posts our footstool. So now here's the idea of rest. Chris, are you feeling pretty rested? He's feeling pretty rested. But when your feet were up, how much better rested did you feel?
Oh, it was class.
Even better. Even better. So when the enemy comes to try and steal our rest and to get us to hurry and to get us to walk around and do all sorts of crazy things, we say, no, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. And whenever you come, you know what? You'll become my footstool and I'll rest even better. Now, let me just take it to a physical place. Chrissy, would you mind just lying completely flat on the ground? This is the even better. Back the other way, bro. Back the other way. Yeah, like that, like that. So imagine this is Chrissy's bed. Just imagine just for a moment. I want to illustrate the point. We're seated in a heavenly place with Christ, so every day we're sitting like this, or we've got our feet up whenever the enemy comes, but here's the place of rest that God has ordained for every single day. It's called sleep. It's called sleep. This is such a high thing for God that he decided that every single day you would get it, and a third of your day, this is what he planned, a third of your day would be like this. So not only you're not seated anymore. That's a good place of rest. You haven't even got your feet up, which is an even better place of rest. You're now laid completely flat on the floor because that's the ultimate place of rest. That is the ultimate place of rest. When you're sleeping, do you worry about anything? You might have a few nightmares. That's the enemy just trying to get in. But when you're sleeping, you're not paying no bills. You're not working. You're not achieving anything. You're not doing anything. That's why we don't want to sleep, because we feel we have to achieve all the time, because we feel we have to work all the time, because we feel we have to do everything. But you ask any person from a physical point of view, say if they work out or do anything like that, they will say that sleep is the most underrated thing in all of exercise and all of trying to get your body right for whatever you want to do the next day. What's the number one thing that the enemy tries to steal? Our sleep. Tries again and all of the time. Gives us night terrors, Psalm tells us. Book of Psalms tells us that the enemy comes to give us night terrors, comes to disturb our sleep, comes to rob our sleep. And yet that's what God designed for every single day, a place of rest. 8 hours. God's all about the numbers. Let's take 24 divided by 3. You'll get 3 sets of 8. Here's what God planned. That one third of that day would be work. 8 hours of work. That's what he's hoping for. I know it overlaps a bit more because work wants to try to take more priority off you. We should try to fight that all the time that we can. The other third is for rest, so we can enjoy. So we can just, you know, enjoy what God has done. So we can rest with our families. We can enjoy with our family. And then the other third is to sleep and to have a good sleep. So what's the Lord simply saying this morning? Have you found yourself getting out of balance? And you find yourself, instead of 8 hours sleep, it's maybe 6 or 5. Now maybe you have a new baby. That can happen. Happens to me sometimes with Aria. But God still wants you to have your 8 hours. But have you found yourself, instead of getting a good sleep, and instead of getting a good rest, that you're working far more? Because work's only supposed to be about one third. I know it'll overlap a tiny bit, but it definitely shouldn't be more than half. And I think it's starting to get there. In fact, I think what it really wants to get to is two-thirds, if not all-thirds. That's what it wants to do. Can you see the tactic and the tactic of the enemy and the works of the enemy, that he would come and lie to you and deceive to you that rest is bad, that is evil, that is unproductive, that is wasteful, that is no good? And yet it has been ordained by God from the very beginning in Genesis right through to the end. Where are we going forever? Into our eternal rest. Hebrews tells us that Jesus wants for us to enter into rest. When he describes that, what's he describing? The Old Testament about the Israelites trying to find the land of Canaan, and they entered into a place of milk and honey. It was a place of rest where God would provide and sustain everything. Church, we need to understand that this morning, that God has ordained rest. He has given us rest. It's a good thing. It's an important thing. It should become a higher value in our thinking. Whether you're seated with Christ, whether you've got the feet up because the enemy come, or at nighttime when you're sleeping. This is the time when your body gets fully restored. Your mind gets fully renewed. Whenever just everything inside of you just starts to change and starts to shift, it is so much better than anything else. That's why the Lord loves sleep. Give Chrissy a round of applause. Chrissy, woo, he was sleeping. Come on. Thank you, Chris. I'm going to invite, yes, bring your chair, bro, because you need to sit down again. I'm going to invite our worship team to come. And as they come and as you get ready, I want to just watch this over your heart this morning. God wants to give us rest in our finances. He wants to give us rest in our finances. I know that's an easy thing to say, but this is what he has decided. I want to give you rest in your finances. Now, look how the enemy comes to rob you of your finances. He says, you've got to work for all that you've got. You've got to achieve. You've got to be healthy. You've got to be strong. Here's what the Lord says. I provide all things. I am the provider of all things. So who is my boss? The Lord, not my work boss. He is my ultimate boss. He is my good shepherd. He is my provider. He gives me rest in my finances. Can I encourage you to rest in him? Can I encourage you to rest in him and see how he calls you to rest in your finances? You know what that means? It means give even when you can't, because the Lord says you can always give. You can always give, whether it be your money, whether it be your time, whether it be whatever. But you've got to give regardless, because God says, beat the system of this world that says keep all that you have because you've only got what you have. The Lord says, give and you'll receive. The Lord says, invest and you'll reap a harvest. The Lord says, give it away even when you can't, and I will restore you. I will multiply because I am the God who provides all things. Can I encourage us to rest in our health this morning? Rest in your health in the Lord. You're going to worry about everything. You're going to worry about all sorts of things. And life wants you to worry about all of those things. But I want you to find rest in your health, because he is our wonderful counselor. He is our wonderful healer. I don't need anybody else above him. He is in all things. Can I encourage you this morning to find rest in our relationships? Rest in our relationships. I know many of us are married this morning, but many of us are not. Here's the biggest lie that the enemy tries to tell us. That whenever you find your husband or your wife, you will be complete. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You will never be completed by a husband or wife. You will only be completed by Jesus. He's the only one who can complete you. Now, what does he say? It's good for a man to have a wife, but it doesn't bring them completeness. It's good for a woman to have a husband, but it's not about completeness. Jesus is the only number seven. He's the only number seven. He's the only one. He's the only one. So in our relationships, what do? We rest. Even when we're excited for a husband, or even when we're excited for a wife, we rest. We don't have to go searching every highway and byway. I've done that, I find. It was good. But the Lord is here to tell you, don't believe the lie that you need a husband or wife to complete you. That's not the case. It's not the case. Jesus is the only one that completes you. And then he gives you all the good things that you need for your life. And together, you do great things with him and for him. That's the rest that he has won for us. Don't allow the enemy to come subtly and to steal from you. Let's stand together. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't rest because you're worrying. Maybe you can't rest because you're stressing. Maybe you can't rest because of sickness or poverty. Can I encourage you? They're all your footstool this morning. They're all under your feet. They're all allowing you to rest more. Isn't it amazing how the enemy comes to get those things to get you to rest less? To get you to be restless? And yet God says, no, my plan and my design was that you would rest more when your enemies would come, because they would be your footstool. The enemy only gains power to the measure to which we allow him. Don't allow him. Don't allow him. Don't allow him. Don't allow him. You need to know the word. You need to exercise the word. You need to know who you are. You need to know your identity in Christ. You need to remind him that you are a person of continuous rest because of what the Lord has done. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray this over our hearts. Lord, I pray Matthew 11, 29 over our hearts this morning. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Change my thinking, Lord. Change my thinking in all things. For I am gentle, Jesus speaking, and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls in me. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Let's lift our hands this morning if you would like to. Let's lift our hands. Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you this morning that you are changing me. And thank you this morning, Lord. My yoke is easy because you've already completed all the work that needed to be completed for my worthiness. And thank you this morning, Lord, that now I work with delight, which means it is easy, which means it is not difficult, which means I am not performing. I am simply working from his good pleasure. Lord, I thank you this morning that my burdens are light. Let's receive that this morning. I thank you prophetically. I thank you spiritually, Lord, that my burdens are light. It may feel this morning that my burdens are still heavy, but I'm going to declare it in the face of my heavy burdens that my burdens are light, because this is what Jesus